Praise the Lord, church. What a joy it is to see you tonight. Wonderful atmosphere and presence of the Lord that is here in this midweek revival, Bible study, evangelistic church service. And we're letting the Lord have his way. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. The ladies got to hear from my wife on Sunday for a few minutes, and then you got to hear from... All of you got to hear from both the sons on Sunday, and so I thought I would let my wife come tonight and greet you and speak a word and prophesy or tell whatever's on her heart. Amen. God bless her.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless each and every one of you, and it's so good to be here, and God's doing great things. I've been praying for your church since I've been here, and the scripture comes to me, whatever the locust has taken away, and y'all know the scripture, but I feel like the Lord said, whatever you lost is going to get restored. So I speak, whatever you lose, God's going to restore to you. It's coming. It's happening. You all are set up for a God divine appointment. God's about to do some awesome things. So whatever you lost, God's going to give it back to you. That's his word. Whatever the canker worm, whatever, God's going to give it back to you. Where's the other brother that was just here, that the worship leader? Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your greatness. I bless each and every one of your people. I pray over them, Lord. I pray for this church. In the name of Jesus, bless your precious people. Heal bodies and touch minds and spirits. You're about to do great things. You're restoring to us, Lord. You are restoring. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We love coming here. Bless each and every one of you. And the man of God is going to bless you.
Couldn't find him. Okay. I'll get him later. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right out loud, say, I receive the word. In Jesus' name. I know I certainly received the prophetic word. I believe strongly in the prophetic speaking and declaring by our faith. Not just name it and claim it, not just speak it out into the wind, but when God puts something in your heart, when you receive it in the spirit or through the word or in prayer or in devotion, and it comes to you in a meaningful manner, then you make it even more meaningful by declaring it and speaking it and stepping out by faith on that word. And I believe it will come to pass. And I witness along with her what she was feeling in the Lord. I think she had a word for the brother that was leading the service. And it was kind of interesting because I was kind of sensing and feeling the same thing. So maybe we'll get to him by the time we get through here tonight. Where did he get to? There he is, Brother Powell. We were looking for you everywhere trying to give you a word from the Lord. But oh, that's not him? Luma? Well, somebody over here said power. No, just... It's been very hard to hear up here with all the noise on the platform tonight. We've been trying to have a conversation, but it just didn't work. I would like to say a big thank you, and I do realize you're standing, and I'm going to get directly to the word of the Lord. A big thank you to the church. This is an opportunity I don't have often in that I preach in a lot of churches... just one service or a Sunday night, and then I'm gone. And you were very kind on Sunday and gave special seed offering and faith offering into our family. And we have received that. And just from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for your love, your generosity, your kindness, and your faith in sowing that seed. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak a blessing upon that seed that you sowed into our ministry. I bless it pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall God cause men to give into your bosom? Amen. I pray it comes back to you in job raises and in wise investments and in I just felt a word in money that is tied up or locked up in a legal proceeding or in a court situation. I pray you to be released in the name of the Lord. Money that is owed to you that is not being paid back or paid to you. I speak that it'll be released and paid to you in the name of the Lord. You know, the Lord's your advocate. The Lord's your attorney. And I release him to go and represent that case even now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, I know it's midweek, but there's a strong prophetic anointing around here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thank you. And then the fellowship with Pastor and his wife at their home and the meals. I ate some of the best steaks, and then we had some good lasagna. And by the time that was all done, we were out trying to get a deal on suits today. Jose Banks was running a buy one, get two for free, and I couldn't fit in any of them. But the lasagna sure was good. Hallelujah. Amen. To go into the word of the Lord tonight, I spent quite a bit of time today pondering and thinking and trying to get a good feel for which direction to go. And I just could not come out from under the residue or the bleed over from Bleed Through Faith on Sunday. It just seemed like there was such a strong ministering spirit of the Lord. So I thought I would just start there and maybe really put some meat on the bones of keys to bleeding faith. I want to really come underneath it and gird it up and give you something. So we'll just look back at Job 23 and 8, just a reminder of the text. Behold, I go forward, he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Father, I pray over the wonderful people of God that have gathered into this service. We already acknowledge and sense a prophetic anointing upon this service. We feel the gift of prophecy trying to flow like a river of water, of refreshing and renewing into this place. I pray, Lord, as I speak on these points you have given and shown to me today, I will not restrict or hold back in any way the prophetic flow and the prophetic utterance that will want to find its expression in this service. Begin to open us up and let the spirit of prophecy come to this church service. Let it lay upon the shoulders, the heart, and the mind, and the ears of every soul. And we'll give you high praise. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. High praise. The Lord is high and lifted up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless your holy name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We've been talking about bleeding faith. Faith that bleeds in. Faith that bleeds through. That which comes up from you and out from you in the most inconvenient circumstances. At times when it seemed like we should be depressed, we should be discouraged, should be down, should be frustrated, full of fear, full of doubt, full of oppression. There's something that comes from this secret source that comes from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This well of living water that springs up to everlasting life. So when we're in a desert and our mouths should be dry and parched and thirsty and our lips should be cracked, instead there in a desert with no other source coming from anywhere, out from ourselves comes this well of living water. Aren't you glad you have a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life? Now let me help you understand something. I feel that prophetic anointing right here. You know why it's important to have a well? Because it's not always raining. You don't need a well when it's raining. You don't need a well when there's plenty of water coming down out of the sky. All you need is a good catcher. Hallelujah. Get you a good something to gather it up. When it's raining, the water's flowing through the streets. When it's raining, there's water everywhere. The lakes are full. The streams are flowing. There's water puddled up in every place. Rain just falling right out of the sky. Out there in that campground where we're staying out there at the Lion Safari Country, it rained yesterday and the roads just filled up with water everywhere. You don't need a well when it's raining. There's water everywhere. But when it goes dry for a while, when the skies are blue and there's no clouds and there's no rain, and pretty soon all the puddles have dried up and the rivers start to run low, and you get in a desert place, you get in a dry place, there's no water to be found any place, you better have yourself a well. Wells are for dry seasons. I said wells are for dry seasons. But Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I give you, it shall be in you a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. That means drop me in the middle of the desert. I have a well inside of me that will spring up unto everlasting life. In the desert seasons of life, I have a well that will, you have a well inside of you. I told you Sunday, I'll tell you tonight, you have more faith than you think you have. You're stronger than you realize you are. You have more anointing than you realize. And it is true, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the well is greater than the drought. The well is greater than the dry seasons of life. So we're talking about these keys to the bleed through life. You've got to have a well of water springing up. You got to be able to pull from the source on the inside when you can't find anything on the outside. The old song we used to sing back in the old church said, when the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When everything around me is bad and negative, and let 1,000 fall on my left hand, let 10,000 fall on my right, it shall not come nigh me. See, I am the exception to the rule. I am the exception to the circumstances. What happens with me can be entirely different than what's happening around me. See, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm of another flow. I'm from another place. I have a secret source of power, a secret source of direction. I have an anointing. See, we used to sing about joy. Said, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. This happy face that I'm wearing, Jesus put it there to stay. See, when you don't get your joy from the world, and you don't get your joy from the things of this world. See, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Everything that is in the world is temporal. But his joy is an everlasting joy. His peace is an everlasting peace. So when the joy is coming from the inside, not from the outside, I can just let my river flow. Amen. We're here for a flow tonight. There is a flow. That's why we worship. That's why we sing. That's why we try to pray in the Spirit. We need the flow of the Holy Ghost, because I'm going to be in some dry places and I'm going to be in some dark places and I'm going to be in some difficult places. But if I have something in here, that's a key to bleed through faith. It's what's on the inside. It's what's inside. That's what matters in bleed through faith, because when you get cut, that's what's coming out, what's on the inside. Bleeding faith has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has everything to do with what's in your heart and what's in your spirit. When you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what's inside comes out. And when life squeezes you, what's inside comes out. I think it's entirely possible to be a Christian and hit your thumb with a hammer and not curse the Lord. It's been a long time since I've done it. But I honestly believe I hit my thumb with a hammer, I wouldn't curse him, I'd praise him. Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, that hurts. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Bless the Lord God Almighty. His holy name. The Lord is good. Amen. What's inside you comes out when life squeezes you. Amen. What you've been taking in is going to come out. Amen. That's why we have to be so cautious and so careful to make sure we're allowing good seed to fall on the good soil of our heart. I got to close my ears to all the seed of those things in the world. That's why as a father, I've been very careful and cautious and not always to the joy of my sons with the spot checks on those iPhones and iPods and when the earphones are on, a little while, I can see him smiling. He knows, here comes, he can see what I'm going to tell. I got up one night, came out in the kitchen. My youngest son was out there, leaned up against the counter, had his earphones on, and I just did a little spot check. He didn't even know I was sneaking up on him. Snuck up over there and just pulled them earphones off and put them on my head. Unfortunately for him, I can't even remember the guy's name right now. Some kind of a rapper. He was listening to some like Pandora, one of these music program places. And just about the time I'm reaching for the headphones, it changed songs. And in come one that was really bad. And I'm listening to it. He don't even know what I'm hearing. But it wasn't good. And so we had about a 35-minute sermon when I got those earphones off my ears. And he finally explained to me that he didn't even know that song was on there. He said, well, you were tuned to the wrong channel. I don't want to be tuned into a channel where something like that might just come across. Amen. You never know what they're going to slip in on you here, slip in on you there. I said, you need to be listening to that kind of stuff. You never know what these people are going to say. I won't tell your other story. When we were moving furniture, and he smashed his hand, and we had a little discussion about why certain things might come out of your mouth because of what's been going into your ears. You don't want it to come out. Don't let it go in. Amen. Don't let it in. Get a hallelujah coming out. You got to get into a flow. See, this is the way the devil operates. I have not got to point number one on my notes yet. We're going to be a little while tonight. No, I got a timer up here. I'll just quit when the time runs out. Hallelujah. It's all about getting into a flow. If you're going to bleed faith, you have to have a flow on the inside coming out. It's about a spiritual flow. See, I know a little bit about the spirit world and how it operates. The devil operates through your flesh. He's external. He comes from the outside in. He comes to your flesh. And if you give heed to him, seducing spirits, outward spirits, if you obey, if you listen, if you cooperate, if you entertain those seducing spirits, it'll come in through your flesh and it'll get into your brain and into your will and into your emotions. And it'll get into your mind to begin changing your thought processes. And it'll get into your emotions to change the way you feel about things. If you don't get a hold of it there, and if you don't stop it there, and if you don't win the battle there, eventually it could move into your spirit. And if that thing ever gets into your spirit world, it could cut you off from God. Because it's the spiritual realm that is the doorway or the entrance for God. See, he comes in through your spirit to get into your brain and into your emotions. The spirit connects with God and he comes in and begins to change the way I think. The spirit leads and guides you to all truth. So I feel it spiritually first. I just feel chill bumps on the back of my neck. I just feel like praising him. I get my praise on out here. I get to feeling good on the Lord. And you think, well, that doesn't matter much. But what I'm feeling and connecting to in the spirit, it's going to start talking to me in a little while. Right now, I just feel good. When it's Sunday church, I just got my Chuck Berry on. You know, I feel good. But on the drive home, that feel good is going to start talking good. And spirit is going to lead me to truth. And what I was feeling is going to start talking and reasoning with my mind and start bringing revelation. The brother talked about revelation, bringing revelation to my mind. So in God, I've got to feel it first and think it next. From there, it's going to move through my mind and my emotions, ultimately to manifest in my flesh. Ultimately, if I can get it in my spirit, get it in my brain, get it in my heart, get it in my emotions, then I can reach out and touch someone. Now I can stretch forth my hand and pray the prayer of faith. I can open up my mouth and speak a declaration of faith, because what's been coming through can now come out. So you understand, I just diagnosed for you spiritual flow. It's a double lane highway. There's from the flesh coming through the will and the mind and the emotion in the soul into the spirit. So it comes from the flesh to the spirit, but with God, it's coming from the spirit to the flesh. So here's the key. If I don't want it coming in, I got to keep a strong flow going out. The stronger flow I have coming through, the harder it's going to be for the devil to get anything in. When the devil comes my way, I want him to run into some oncoming traffic. I said I want him to hit some oncoming traffic. I want him to make a right turn to come up into my heart and see one-way signs. And realize you just turned the wrong way on a one way. This is a flow coming out. This is an anointing coming through. This is me being used by God to do the work of God. This is me being like the apostle saying, such as I have, give I thee. Amen. This is me saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Devil, you're on a one-way street and you're going the wrong way. You're about to get rolled over by the flow of God that is coming through my spirit. Come on, somebody, create a little one-way flow right now. Create a little one-way flow right now. Let some praises go up. Let some glory flow out. Let a prophetic declaration of praise come through you. I'm creating a little one-way flow right here. Woo! It's a key. I'm going to tell you what it gets to looking like, what the vision in my mind is. Here's what I want to look like. I want the devil to come up to me with his little concoction and solution and his little elixir, his devilish poisons, and think, I'm just going to come get this, and I'm just going to pour it right into his heart. I'm going to just get it right into his ears. I'm going to get it right into his brain. I'm going to just here I come with it. And he gets up to me, and by the time he gets to me, it's like a fire hydrant. Somebody done popped the cork off of, and there's a flow coming out of there at about 100 mile an hour. Try to take that right there and pour it up into a fire hydrant that's got the lid off. See how far you're going to get. You can't get anything in because there's so much coming out. Somewhere along the line, you got to get such a flow coming out of you, such an anointing coming through you, that you can get like Jesus. Jesus said, the thief cometh, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. He can't get anything in because there's so much springing up. There's so much praise. There's so much word. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm so full of the Holy Ghost. I command you tonight to be full of the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Till out of the abundance of your heart there is a flow of the Spirit. And I promise you the flow will overcome the adversary. You need to flood him out. I said just flood him out. You know, there's two ways people like to look at that scripture. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Some people like to move the camera and say, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Amen. You can have it any way you want. It'll work out for you either direction. But I like that idea of like a flood. Like a flood. Go ahead, devil. Come on in. We're going to flood you right out of here. We're going to open up the floodgates of praise. We're going to open up the floodgates of prayer. We're going to open up the floodgates of revelation. We're going to open up the floodgates. Go ahead. Just get on the premises. We're going to open the floodgates of unity. We're going to open up the floodgates of faith. Amen. And you're about to get hit by a tsunami wave of the anointing of the Lord and the revelation of God. Something's going to flow out of me and through me that is greater than anything you're trying to get in me. In the name of Jesus, devil, we cast you out. I cast you out of our homes. I cast you out of our lives. Hey, I think we need a good casting out service right here. What do you think? Why don't you speak to your house? Speak to your car. Speak to your job. Speak to your heart. In the name of the Lord, I speak to my atmosphere. I speak to the atmosphere around my life and around my home. And I release a hallelujah. I release a praise. I release a word from the Lord. I release the anointing that I feel in this house in the name of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you. I feel a little bleeding right here. I see the crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. I see the crimson stream of blood. It's bleeding, anointing, and bleeding faith. It's a wave that's going to wash away. I speak renewal. I speak renewal into your spirit and into your heart. Let the blood cleanse you from all sin. Go ahead right now. Say, cleanse me, blood. Wash me, blood. Wash me, Calvary. Wash me, mercy of God, grace of God. I'm not perfect, but I accept the mercy of Calvary's cross. Let everybody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Woo! That's your key, Brother Sapp. That's how you deal with it. You got to let so much come through you and flow through you. And every day you've got to work the flow. Every day I've got to build the flow. Every day I've got to get a hold of the source and say, God, I need something flowing through here, because if this thing gets shut off, there's a flow going to come the other direction. I feel a little one-way flow here tonight. You can be seated. I'm trying to give you some points here, the keys. Keys, helpful keys to having bleed through faith in your life. Number one, you gotta worship in spite of your circumstances. That's how you get the flow, the one-way flow. I will not base my praise on my predicament. I'm not going to base my worship on what I'm going through. I'm gonna praise God because God is good. Life's not fair, but God is good. And God's good all the time. People aren't good all the time. Life's not good all the time, but God is good in the valley, on the mountain, in the nighttime, in the daytime, when I'm sick, when I'm well, when I'm up, when I'm down, when I have money, when I'm broke. God's good all the time. I want to remind you, that's what was so powerful about Job's story that I preached to you on Sunday. Powerful what he said. The Lord give, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Powerful that he would praise God. More powerful that he praised God in contradictory circumstances. He praised God in situations that gave him no reason to praise God. He had no external reason or external inspiration to praise God. He wasn't praising God for his circumstances. He was praising God in his circumstances. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say give thanks for all things. It says give thanks in all things. Because I'm not thankful for everything that happens to me, but I can be thankful while things are happening to me. You don't have to like what's happening to like the God that's bringing you through what's happening. I'm trying to help somebody here tonight. That's why I put Ezekiel in the story on Sunday. He experienced the presence of God in negative circumstances. He was among the captives, but not a captive in his own mind. One of the keys to bleed through faith is you cannot take on a captive mentality. You cannot take on the identity of your circumstances. What I'm going through is not who I am. This is a season. This is a situation. It's not going to define me. That's why you cannot live in unforgiveness. As soon as somebody betrays you, hurts you, does you wrong, and in some way totally does wrong by you, and it's just not right, and it's unfair, and it's unjust, and you let unforgiveness get in your heart, you live there in that unforgiveness the rest of your life. And you no longer have a future, you only have a past. And your past defines everything happening to you every day. Your past becomes your destiny. I think I'm preaching to some people tonight that do not want your past to be your future. You don't want your past to be the defining forces of what's going to happen to you next. So I plead with you, release them, let them go. Speak a word of forgiveness and say, I'm not letting this situation define my future. That's what happened to me. That's not who I am. I refuse to be a victim to my circumstances. I will not be a victim to it. It happened to me, but I'm not staying there. I said it happened to me then, but not now. I'm not staying there. I'm not living there. I'm not going to keep living it over. I'm not going to keep thinking it over. I'm not going to keep reliving it every day of my life. I'm going to live something new. I'm going to have some new emotion. I'm not always going to cry. I'm not always going to be sad. I'm not always going to be discouraged. I'm not always going to be depressed. I'm going to shake off these heavy bands. Come on, somebody, make up your mind. I'm just not going to think like that today. I'm just not going to live like that today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad. You make a decision. I'm going to be glad in this day. I might be among captivity, but I'm not going to be a captive. I'm going to see a vision from God. I'm going to hear a word from the Lord. I'm going to get a fresh anointing. There's captivity all around me, but I refuse to be a captive. You know, you can be seated. It's like that little boy. I'm sure you've heard the story. I remind you of it tonight. The little boy that kept getting into mischief, kept just doing everything wrong. And parents kept sitting him down, and he wouldn't. And so finally, he had to give himself a little spanking. They sent him in that chair and said, "Don't get up or you're getting another spanking." And in a minute, he stood right up on the seat. So I had to come over there and take care of business, set him back down. Little tears swelling up in his eyes. He looked up and said, "I'm standing up on the inside." You know, sometimes that's just what you got to do in life. Just stand up on the inside. I'm just going to stand up on the inside. Life's got me down here, but I'm standing up on the inside. Life's got me defeated here, but I'm victorious on the inside. I got victory on the inside, devil. Amen. I'm prosperous on the inside. I'm blessed on the inside. I'm anointed on the inside. Just cut me, you'll find out. I'll bleed in a minute here. Go ahead and cut me, you'll find out. I'll bleed a little faith. I'll bleed a little anointing. You'll find out who I am on the inside when you cut me. When life squeezes me, you're going to find out I got a little victory on the inside. Anybody got some victory on the inside here tonight? You got a little victory, it's swelling up inside of you. Hey, who I am in here is not what's going on out here. Woo! I meant to tell you when I got started here tonight, by the way, the refrigerator is fixed. When it broke the last time, they told me it's going to be this part that's like between $1,200 and $1,800. So I just supposed that's what it was, you know. Just took for granted it'd be that control board. But we got somebody come out and take a look at it. And sure enough, he got back there and just found a little fuse, and it cost me $65. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Little victory in the middle of it all. And so I was thinking about going a whole nother direction. Then the last 3 days, I've had 3 phone calls that pretty much amounted to Job's comforters. So I just got right back in here where I am. Amen. See, but I got my mind made up about this thing. That I'm not going to let what happens to me define who I am. The what and the who are going to be two different deals. I can't control the what, but I got a lot of control over the who. And I'm going to take control of my identity here. I can't control what they do to me. I can't control what life dishes out to me. I don't have control over all these circumstances, but I can say within my own heart. See, that's what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16. You know the story. Whipped them, beat them, throwed them into the inner prison. It's the midnight hour. Their backs are beaten and bloodied and stripes laid on their back. They're cast into the stocks, and that's not the stock market. That's them stocks. They can both be a problem. Their hands and their feet in chains. Their body beaten till the blood was running down. It's the midnight hour. They were in bad circumstances. But Paul looked over at Silas. Silas looked over at Paul, I guess, and they began to sing. I don't know what they could have sung that could have made them happy. Had their hands and their feet in chains and their back. Hey, Brother Sapp said, maybe they said, I got a praise and I just got to let it out. Yeah. I don't know what they could have sung. But the Bible said at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God. They began to pray. You know what was happening? They were bleeding. They were bleeding faith. They were bleeding praise. They were bleeding, trusting in God. Life had cut them. Life had laid stripes upon their back, but they made a conscious decision. I'm going to praise God from this inner prison. I'm going to sing unto the Lord while I'm suffering. Hallelujah. I'm going to worship while I'm in bondage. And the foundations were shaken. You want to shake the foundations of your life? Praise God while you're suffering. Praise God. Rattle those chains, Ezekiel. Rattle those chains, Paul and Silas. Learn from these great examples and learn how to bleed a little praise and worship unto the Lord. I give you a few helpful hints how you can praise God regardless of your circumstances. You can praise God, number one, because he's worthy of praise. He's worthy of praise. God is great and greatly to be praised. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Another reason to praise God is because our praises please God. So sometimes we get in bad circumstances, we feel we're there because we're not pleasing God. If you just want to make sure you can check that mark off, just start praising God. Praise pleases God. Blessing and praising God is the only gift you can give him. What do you give a God who has everything? You can give the king a gift the king cannot give himself. You have nothing to offer him that he doesn't already have an abundance of. But there's one thing he cannot give himself. He cannot give himself praise. You can give him something he cannot get anywhere else, and that is your praise. I'm not going to be like those people in Ezekiel's day that sat down and said, I cannot sing the songs of the Lord in this strange land. I say, yes, you can. Yes, we can. We can sing the praises of God in whatever strange season we're in. Praising God invites the presence of God. So when you feel alone and you're in the wilderness and you're in the valley and you're by yourself and you feel like nobody cares and nobody understands and nobody's praying for me and nobody loves me and I think I'll eat a worm, you can praise God, and praising God will bring his presence into your predicament. You confuse the enemy when you praise God in the middle of your trial. He can't understand that. He can't figure it out. He understands you just got a, you know, you've got your brand new car. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody. I could shout, 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 shout all night. All night. Smell that leather. I mean, you praise God when stuff's coming your way. He gets that. He can't figure out why you're praising God on the way home. You just got fired. He can't figure out how you just opened up the third, final, and late notice and laid it down and put it in the deal and walked away and said, blessed be the name of the Lord my God. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. He can't figure that out. You put a big old question mark right on the devil's face. He don't understand that. Not only that, but praise not only confuses him, but praise wars against him. When you worship God in your circumstances, worship is warfare. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way the battle is won. You set ambushments against him. When you begin to praise God, see, the Bible said they worshiped God and the foundations were shaken. When you worship God in your circumstance, it actually does war against the enemy. I got a whole ebook and everything online and 2 hours of teaching of seminars and all this spiritual warfare. I believe strongly in spiritual warfare. I believe spiritual warfare is a very important need in the church today. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned. If you'll worship more, you'll war less. Because while you're worshiping, God goes to battle on your behalf. And it's like the Lord says, look, no need for you to stop worshiping to go into warfare. You just keep worshiping. I'll take care of this business. Why don't you just, see, you come to church service like this right here. You just let your hallelujahs out and let the Lord set ambushments against your enemy. Why don't you let the Lord fight the battle while you enjoy church? I said, well, somebody ought to just let the Lord fight the battle while you enjoy church. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's another reason to praise God. When you praise God, you get stronger. You feel weak. You feel discouraged. You feel down. You're upset. This battle's been taking it all out of you. The circumstances have been taking it out of you. But when you praise the Lord, you receive the strength of the Lord. So you get stronger while you're worshiping because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Bible said, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Also, praise will refresh you, and praise will renew you, and praise will give you like a reboot to your system and renew you to go back into the battle. Why don't you give the Lord a great big hand praise right now? Get a little strength. Come on, you're not too weak to worship. You're too weak not to worship. I said, you're too weak not to worship. You need a little strength. Let a hallelujah out and get a little stronger in the Lord. Let a praise the Lord out and get a little strength for your weary soul. Let deep call unto deep and say, Lord, I'm so weak here. I think I'll just praise you a little while. Woo! You can be seated. Let me tell you something else that'll help you bleed faith. This will help you bleed faith. When life cuts you, what are you going to bleed? You have to have faith in the unseen hand of God, the unseen works of God. See, Job confessed, I go forward not there, back not there, left not there, right not there. And on the left hand where he doth work was the key phrase. He said, I can't see anything, but yet I know my God and I know he's working even though I can't see it. That's bleeding faith. I've come to prophetically declare to you tonight, there is an unseen work of God going on in your life right now. I speak it prophetically into the atmosphere of this room, into the DNA of this church. I speak it into every husband, every wife, every single mom, single dad, every young person in this room. I declare to you as a prophetic voice, I plant prophetic seed into your spirit right now. There is an unseen work of the Lord going on in your life. God is working in areas you do not see. God is doing things you don't know anything about. God is arranging the pieces to a puzzle you have not figured out. God is with you. God is for you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? If God, what if God is for us? What if God is on your side? My wife will often say, we'll be going through something like we've been going through all this stuff. We'll be going through something, then I'll do a little something, say a little something I shouldn't say. And she'll say, don't say that. We need God on our side. Don't do that. We need God on our side. We were going through a particularly hard time one time, and my wife was sitting there, had her Bible open. She hadn't been reading it or nothing. I've been watching her. She's had it open. I said, how come you're sitting there with your Bible open? You're not reading it. She said, I want God to see me with my Bible because we need God on our side. I said, well, don't you think he knows whether you're reading or not? I mean, you're just posing. I want God to see me with my Bible. We need God on our side. I guess it'd be better for God to see her with her Bible open than other things he might see. I prophesy the Lord is working something out. I prophesy there's a miracle in the making. I prophesy that you've not been abandoned. I prophesy you've not been forgotten. Come on, whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe what you've been feeling, what you've been thinking? The devil been lying to you all day. Well, that preacher just saying. Well, the devil's just been saying. The devil been talking to you. Why don't you let me talk to you from the Spirit of God tonight? Let the Spirit talk to you. I've not abandoned you, saith the Lord. I've not forgotten you, saith the Lord of hosts. You have not been forsaken. I am with you even unto the end of the world, saith the Lord of hosts. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will bring you through and bring you out, saith the Lord. And when you come forth and when you have been tried, you will come forth as gold tried in the fire. But I tell you, you shall come forth without even the smell of smoke and without even your garment singed by the flame. And you shall be a testimony unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord your God. God, and I will not allow you to be ashamed. I will not lead you into embarrassment, but I will deliver you and I will give you the victory, saith the Lord. Come on, whose report will you believe? You can either believe what the devil's been telling you all week, or you can believe what the man of God has prophesied into your ears. You're a victory in progress. I prophesy your life is a victory in progress. I impart victory. I impart anointing. I impart blessing. I speak victory and overcoming into your life tonight. First Corinthians 2:8, as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man which things God hath prepared for them that love him. Just because you haven't thought about it, just because you haven't seen it, just because you haven't heard it, and just because you don't know anything about it, doesn't mean God's not doing it. God's doing something you've not seen. God's doing something you've not heard. God's doing something you've never even thought of. I've come to tell you tonight, God's at work. Doesn't matter what you see, what it looks like, what it feels like. All fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's all it is, Pastor. That's what fear is. It's a mirage. But we're pulling the cover off the mirage tonight, and we're saying, whose report will we believe? I'm going to believe God is working in the invisible world of my life. Do I need to wrap it up about here? Amen. My timer's about to run out. Pastor's made his way to the platform. You can be seated. It looks like I'm in the closing minutes. I got the 2-minute warning. The last point, I'm on my last point anyhow. This is actually number 3, but I realize I've given you about 8 points, but that was all just bonus material. Not only do you have to be willing to praise God and worship God in contradictory circumstances, not only do you have to have faith in an unseen, unperceived work of God, but you have to have a willingness. This is probably one of the most important keys of tonight. You have to have a willingness to search it out. You have to praise God for it even though I don't see it. I have to believe in it even though I don't see it. But I do want to see it. I mean, you know, I'm going to praise God even if I don't see it. And I'm going to have faith even though I don't see it. But I'm going to try to see it. In other words, I'm going to keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God. I'm going to press until I possess. I just made that up right now. I never said that before. I'm going to press until I possess. I need to preach on that. You know, write that down. Twitter that. Whatever. You Twitter it, one of them famous preachers will preach it and they'll think I stole it from him. Amen. You press until you possess. I am going to press toward the mark, but I'm pressing for the prize. I am in this thing to win this thing. I do want to win it. I do want to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, I'm going to believe he's good even if I don't see that he's good. And I'm going to worship him because he's great and good, even though I'm not. But I do want to taste and I do want to see. How are you going to get the taste and how are you going to get the see? Proverbs 25:2, I came across this a little while back. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Let the search begin. I say, let the search begin. I'm going to praise him if I don't see anything, but I am going to keep looking. I'm going to praise him if I don't feel anything, but I'm going to keep feeling after God. I am going to feel after the Lord if haply I might find him, because he is here somewhere standing in the shadows. So I am going to pray till I try to pray through, and I am going to praise for a breakthrough, and I am going to have faith believing God that the end of my faith will bring true salvation. And I'm telling you, part of our seeking is we need to pray more, and we need to pray more for the prophetic gifts to flow in our lives. The prophetic gifts are coming to the church in these last days stronger than they have in a long time. We need the prophetic gifts to flow in our churches, the prophetic gifts to flow in worship service, song service, midweek Bible study lesson. We just need the prophetic anointing, because the prophetic anointing will open your eyes to the unseen work of the Spirit. See, prophets and the prophetic are sometimes like seeing eye dogs for the spiritually blind. If you can't see where to go, grab a hold of me. I'll lead you there. That's what pastor says, and these ministers say every time they walk to this pulpit and open up their Bible. They're saying, if you're struggling, if you're lost, if you're confused, if you're bound, just get a hold of me. That's what pastor said. Come on, get a hold of me. I'm the shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. I'm going to lead you. Follow me. I'll get you to where the water is. I'll get you to where the grass is. I'll get you to, we might have some rocks to climb over and some narrow passageways to go through, but you just follow me as I follow Christ. You may not see him, but I can see him. I can see him. You better have a preacher in your life that you have enough confidence in to see what I can't see and hear what I can't hear and tell me what I'm not. You better have a man of God, a woman of God. You better have a prophetic anointing somewhere teaching you, preaching to you, prophesying to you, declaring to you by revelation. And you know, you don't have to say I prophesy to be prophesied. And you don't have to be called a prophet to be prophetic. So many pastors I know are prophetic. I felt prophetic anointing in the service this Sunday, prophetic anointing in the service tonight before I ever got to this pulpit. Traveling evangelists oftentimes come in and they are predominantly prophetic, because we move in that gift often. But you don't have to have a prophet come visit your church for the prophetic anointing to flow in your services, and you know that. I close with this scripture, 2 Kings 6:15. Whoever's going to come and play can come toward the keyboards. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host encompassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said, alas, my master, how shall we do? Pastor, what's going to happen to us? Pastor, what's going to happen to me? Pastor, what's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen in this sickness? What's going to happen to my son, my daughter? We always want to know what's going to happen. Fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now understand, the story started out. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed around about the city. When he got up, all he saw was the enemy everywhere. When he got up this morning, the devil was everywhere. But when he got to the prophetic, and he got under the anointing, and he got under the covering of the spiritual authority in his life, and the man of God could get his hand on him. Sometimes you just got to get where the man of God can get his hand on you. He can get his hand on you in prayer or get his hand on you through speaking out and declaring to the church. You got to come get under the anointing, because when he got under the anointing, then his eyes got open and now he saw the rest of the story. He saw what he couldn't see this morning. The host was still there, but behind them there were chariots of fire all around, always around the anointed and the anointing. You need a prophetic anointing that will open your eyes so you can see, and you have to be willing to search it out. Stand to your feet if you would, please, everywhere in the auditorium. I don't know how long you'd normal. I don't know what your normal deal is on the midweek or what I need to do, but amen. Here's what I want to leave you with. On Sunday, there was strong, strong ministry of the Spirit. The Lord ministered to you about where you were. Some inspiration, but mostly ministry of the Spirit. Tonight there's been some strong prophetic flow, but I've tried to give you some points. See, here's something that we don't often understand. Any of you that might have a gift of prophecy or the prophetic working in your life, I want to help you here. There's a strong parallel connection between teaching and the prophetic. Just like there is with the pastor and the apostle and pastor are very strongly connected because they both deal in spiritual government. The apostle and the pastor help govern and judge and discern and lead the body of Christ with spiritual authority. The prophet and the teacher are very closely related because they both deal with the revelation of word. The teacher, the written word, the prophet, the now spoken word, the rhema and the logos, but both the teacher and the prophetic, they deal together. So when you're not prophesying, teach. And one pathway into the prophetic is through teaching. If you'll teach and you have a prophetic anointing, it's how you develop it. So tonight, we've been in the prophetic and in the teaching, and it's been points and prophetic and declarations and revelation and inspiration of the word of the Lord. Here's where I want to leave you. I want to leave you with a hunger to search it out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. I'm going to put a lid on it. I'm going to cover it up. But they that are hungry are not going to let it stay covered. I'm going to close it up and put it away. But the hungry are going to find it and get it back out. The hungry will get up in the middle of the night and find the leftovers in the refrigerator. See, all you got to do is get hungry. You're going to find where the food is. I'm trying to stir up in the name of Jesus some spiritual hunger, because it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings. It is to our honor to search it out. The Lord's saying, look, I just put a thin veil on it. I just barely got it covered. It's just put away. It's not going to be very hard to find it all. But blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Somebody got to get hungry, so I'm going to get a hold of this thing. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it in prayer. I'm going to find it in praise. I'm going to find it in my walk with the Lord. But I'm not going to stop seeking and searching and reaching until I uncover this thing and all taste and see that the Lord is good. So I open this altar right now for some seekers, for some searchers, for some people that will come and say, I'm here to ask. I'm here to seek. I'm here to knock on heaven's door. I'm here to pray, oh God, open up a door of opportunity to me this week. Open up a doorway of understanding. Come on. In the last few minutes of this service, in the last few minutes before we wrap it up, put it all away and go home, just come and knock on heaven's door a little bit. Say, Lord, I want to see through the glass darkly. I want to see what I'm not seeing. I want to understand what I'm not understanding. Lord, I want you to reveal to me through revelation and prophetic anointing and blessing the part that I've been missing, the missing pieces to the puzzle. I'm here praying, God. Oh, open my eyes that I might see. Open my eyes under the anointing tonight, under the authority of my pastor tonight. Open my eyes that I might see. I could have stayed home and wallowed in my problems, but I got here under the anointing. Let me see, let me hear, let me feel. Whisper in my ear. I feel like the Lord will remind you of a word or a prophecy or a song.
Clap your hands.
The Lord's going to give you a scripture right now. Let him speak to you.
Praise Him for the victory.
I release the prophetic word to come into your ear and into your heart. Come on, Lord, I need to hear your voice.
This is the way that we
fight. I need to hear you this week.
Praise Him for the victory.
Give me eyes to see.
Can't stop praising His name.
Give me ears to hear.
Can't stop praising His name. I can't stop His name, I just can't stop. Praise in His name, I just can't stop. Praise in His name, Jesus.
Lift up your voice.
Lift up your voice and sing for. Out of your hands, make it joyful, Lord.
Blow the trumpet.
Blow the trumpet and shout. You've got to praise Him for the victory. The weapons we use are not guns and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. You've got to praise Him for the victory.
Some of you are right at that brink. You're right at that threshold. The devil is not stopping you. However, our own carnal mindedness can stop us in our tracks. But some of us right now need to step out, step up, and say, it's my time. I've put up with this long enough. I've put up with this long enough. I've been beat up long enough. I've been pushed. I've been pressured long enough. Come on. That you're fixing to draw water out of the wells of salvation. We're going to get some stuff out of our well, and that well's going to begin to flow in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. It's not time to digress. It's time to progress. For the next few moments without any music, just between you and the Lord. Come on, make up your mind. There is no circumstance. There is no serpent. There is no voice, there is no person, there is no pressure that is going to stop you from living for the Lord Jesus Christ and being everything that He has called you to be. Come on, would you lift your voice and let that praise come out and begin to touch the Lord. Come on, we're going to confuse the adversary if we haven't already. Hallelujah. You're going to change the climate of your situation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on. Nothing or no one can take the place of your praise. You have to give praise to God for yourself in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. You have the power to stir up the gift of God that is within you. That I speak to you and I admonish you and I charge you in the Lord to stir it up. Stir it up. Stir that gift of God up that is in you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to become fervent in the Spirit. It's time to become fervent in the Spirit. Fervent in charity. Fervent in your prophetic ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, there is deliverance. There is deliverance. There is deliverance
Hallelujah. The memories of your past have held you hostage, but tonight you're breaking forth. Tonight you're breaking forth. You're getting beyond guilt. You're getting beyond shame. You're getting beyond the voice of condemnation, and you're going to believe God and what God says about you, and you're going to do what God says you can do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you lift your voice? Lift your voice. Hayamotai leme sacrisho mohotori malare kason da mayende shai. Come on, lift your voice. Oh, come on, sons of God. The earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through Him. That's it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, we're going to put pressure. We're going to put pressure back on the enemy. We're going to put pressure back on the enemy. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, grab somebody by the hand and pray fervently for them. Grab somebody by the hand and pray fervently for them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to agree in prayer. We're going to agree in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, the unseen hand of God is at work. The unseen hand of God is at work right now. Oh, praise God. God's doing surgery in our spirit. He's doing surgery in our spirit right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, come on. You're not going to be a hostage any longer. You're not going to have a captive mentality any longer. Hallelujah. This is your day. This is your moment. It's here. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, the gifts of the Spirit are activated right now. The gifts of the Spirit, oh, they've been activated right now. Come on, some of you, just let yourself be led of God. Let yourself be used of God. You have an utterance by the Spirit if you will open your mouth. Come on, there's an utterance of the Holy Ghost just waiting to come out. Just waiting to come out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, death and life is in the power of your tongue. When you open your mouth and speak as an oracle of God, things will happen. Hallelujah. Things will happen in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time for boldness. It's time for courage. It's time for confidence. It's time to speak to our generation and tell them, such as I have, give I unto thee. I'm telling you, it will work. It will work. Come on, Brad. Lay hands on somebody in the name of the Lord. Brother Chris Dooley, lay hands on somebody. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's an intercessory work of the Holy Ghost. There's an intercessory work of the Holy Ghost. It's happening now. It's happening now. There are angels present here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And they are ministering. In this service, they are ministering in this service. Oh, hallelujah!
Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord of hosts. The King of glory. Praise God. When you're ready, I feel like I have a word for you. When you're ready, praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Make it so. Make it so. Make it true. Make it real. Let it be according to her faith, to the hungering and thirsting desire of her heart. Praise God. Lord, bless these that are so passionate, that are so hungry, that are so desperate. Make it so, Lord. Make it so, Lord. Let it be, Lord. Jesus. Let the peace of God pass knowledge. Let the peace of God pass understanding. Let the peace of God be greater. Greater than every contrary witness. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Praise the Lord. We've only got a few more minutes. And there is something I would like to speak to you as from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let everybody say praise the Lord. I feel like the Lord just spoke something into my heart. Just now the Lord gave this to me, and I believe it's for you to hear and take home with you by way of some direction. While we've been staying over here at the Lion Safari, we learned that when a lion roars, that roar, the sound of that roar, can extend 5 miles. That it is possible to hear a lion's roar 5 miles away. Of course, we're right there at the campground, and we can easily hear the lions roaring. But up to 5 miles. The lion cannot see that far. So he roars against anything that just might be out there, that might be coming his way from afar off. He sends the roar out there to scare away anything that might be coming. And as you well know, the Bible says the devil goes about as a roaring lion. And what I feel the word spoke to me right now, in Hebrews, when it talks about those heroes of the faith, it said they've seen their promises afar off. There are promises, here's the word from the Lord. There are promises that are afar off in your life. They're out there a ways. They're way out there. The devil can't see them coming. He doesn't even know what might be out there. He knows it's probably something good. So what he does is he roars. And he sends his roar out there up to 5 miles. He sends the roar out there to try to strike fear into your heart over what's coming. That God has given you afar off. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, I'd like to believe in what I see more than what I hear. And say, I'm not going to hear or believe.